In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Guido Aleva, one of my great uncles who died many years ago. I do ask that you keep in your prayers Maggie Gallegos, who passed away this morning. That's the mother of Michael and... I'm spacing her name right now. Miss Baca. Kathy Baca. Thank you. Yeah, so if you could keep all of them within your prayers at this time. We're in the process of planning the funeral date as we speak. I've asked you this before, but maybe it's been a long time. Do you know what it is? If you were to take two of the commandments, I'm talking the Ten Commandments, not any of the other ones, two of the Ten Commandments, and you were to put them up and say that these two commandments, if I keep these two, then I can keep all the other commandments that are there, of the Ten Commandments. What do you think those would be? By the way, there is a right answer, and it's not a trick. Which two commandments would you, if you could keep these two commandments, would be enable you to keep all the other ones? Which ones? What are the first two? Okay, somebody said, love the Lord your heart, God your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And sister's shaking her head vigorously in the no direction. Because she's saying that those are not part of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Okay. So what would they be? Have no gods before him. Those are good answers. But in truth, it's the last two. 9 and 10, as Red is shaking her head in agreement right now. She's saying, that's what I thought. That's what she said. Why would it be the last two? What are the last two? You shall not covet, you shall not covet. Where does coveting take place? Okay. And so the coveting, those things which take place here interiorly, take place before anything out here goes on. You know, you who are moms, and maybe you who are dads as well, will say, well, there's times in my life where I've acted without thinking. But you've acted without thinking, but you did that thinking about that thing a long time prior, by habits that you formed and patterns of thought that you did, so that you were acting out of habit which you formed a long time prior. Our thoughts move in our actions in that way. If you and I can keep from coveting, then we can keep what our Lord is speaking about here. It's about keeping the heart entirely pure in this way. Our Lord speaks about, in Matthew chapter 5, the very beginning, I think it's 1 through 11, the verses, or maybe it's 1 through 8, I'm not entirely sure, it's certainly the first verses of chapter 5, he speaks about a certain number of attitudes that we should have always. Good, you know what those are. You're smiling. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes that we're supposed to have there. And one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the pure of heart. Why? For they shall see God. See God. And I want to give you something of a spiritual father, a spiritual master, indeed, who would you would do well to read what he has to say by the name of Jacques Philippe. Obviously, he's a French guy. And Jacques Philippe has beautiful works, and they're written in such a way that they're very easily to digest, very easy to live out. And he takes this particular beatitude, and he says, really what we need to do is flip it around. Flip it around to understand it. He says, make this consideration to make the struggle that you have in keeping a pure heart easier. He says, the beatitude, happy or blessed are the pure of heart, because they will see God, could be turned the other way around. Happy are those who see God, for they will keep their hearts pure. The most powerful safeguard of a pure heart, says Jacques Philippe, is the spirit of faith by which we see God's hand in everything that comes to us. For this is what the saints did, and that made them free. In a letter to her sister Agnes, Saint Therese of Lisieux, Red's patron saint, compares herself to a weak reed, but one that cannot break, since no matter what happens to it, it wants only to see the gentle hand of Jesus. She herself is this broken reed, this reed which is here, this weak reed that is there, that is nigh breaking, but it can't break because no matter what happens to it, it just wants to see the gentle hand of its Jesus. So it's always focused in that way, and that's what gives it the strength it needs to continue to go on. That is indeed a difficult struggle for you and me to be able to have that. Something that we who go to daily Mass need to focus upon this particular gospel, because more than likely we're not engaged in all sorts of huge, grave, mortal sins that that seems so great to you and me. That would seem in the rest of the world to be so bad, but you know, the things that we do are contrary to God, and every sin is very grave. But the struggle for the pure of heart, purity of heart, means that we should keep our heart from anything that can harm it by causing it to lose its very capacity to reach toward God in love. That's what the purity of heart really is, and that is especially true for the sins that probably all of us here struggle with. In particular, I mean to speak about those thoughts that we have, those judgments that we make of others, those bitternesses, that sadness, that worry, and the like. Because Scripture, what it does is it points among the connection between the heart and the thought. It speaks often about the thoughts of our hearts. It gives direction. The thought, what it does is it gives direction, as I was speaking about, for everything it is that we do. Everything that we do proceeds first from thought, from the heart, and then it moves to action. And that's why it's so important for you and I to make sure that we control the thoughts, the things of our heart, as our Lord speaks about it within the gospel, those last two commandments of covetousness, of desirousness, of a lack of trust in God that He's going to provide for us, and that I got to make sure that I provide for myself on my own because somebody else has it better or different or something that I think I must have in order to go forward. What our Lord Jesus says is He says to you and me that there is nothing outside of man within the Scripture today which my going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of the man, those are the things which do defile him. It is not the things that come to us from the outside that do us harm, but it's rather it's your and my interior reaction to the things that are going on outside of us, the things that are coming into us from the outside. And those are the things that result in harm. But all that starts with our thoughts. It's unavoidable that you and I should react negatively to sufferings and deceptions and to all the shocking events that go about in your life and mine that we see within the world at large. But it's so important for you and me to make sure that we don't give a free rein to all the thoughts. Just because they come in and because they're going on in here and because they're understandable that we're having them doesn't mean we should let them fly. But rather, as it says within the Scripture, I must take captive. That's what St. Paul says. I must take captive every idle thought. Every thought that I know for sure, or at least that I don't know for sure, comes directly from the heart of my Jesus. These things we have to make sure that these thoughts, that we do not dwell upon them, but that we should move them away by positive thoughts of faith, of hope, and of charity, of these great spiritual gifts. And this essential aspect of what you and I should be doing in our individual spiritual life as we go forward. The struggles that we go through so easily become, when we're suffering, we have that negative reaction and then it easily turns over to an accusation on somebody, or to a bitterness that I hold against somebody, or to a judgment that I make about them, or to a pessimism about the world at large, or about my state, or about other people in this way, or giving into a discouragement, a woe is me. Into a fret, into a worry about how everybody else is going to react to this, etc., etc., etc. It just goes on and on. This is what causes a darkness within our soul. It's not the suffering itself that we're going through, but rather it's that reaction that we do causes our souls to grow dark. That's what really causes us harm. And so in these difficult times, we need to keep our hearts pure by tending to those thoughts, which proceed out of our heart after we experience anything within the world. It's not an easy task. In fact, it's a lifelong task. I don't know if anybody in here has accomplished that. Maybe not even Sister Anne. This is something that is a lifelong task of you and me, to, as St. Paul said, to take captive every idle thought. Anything, as I said before, that we're not absolutely sure proceeds directly from the heart of our Jesus. And then, when we do that, it's certainly not an easy thing, but in particular, we should be vigilant in regard with those judgmental thoughts about others and those anxiety-driven thoughts that so easily take possession of us. So what did Jacques Philippe say to us? Review it. Jacques Philippe said to us, there is that beatitude, that attitude that really leads us into heaven. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. But rather to flip it around and to realize that's the real way that you and I can live it out. It's blessed are those who see God, because they're the ones who are able to keep their hearts pure. Meaning, blessed are those who are constantly letting their mind drift toward God. And in that act of faith, actually see God in every aspect of their lives, even in those which are not so pretty. Because they're the ones, because their mind, instead of dwelling upon the evil that is there and letting evil proceed from their heart in that way, constantly see, well, God, I'm experiencing this. You see that I'm experiencing this. You're experiencing this very same thing with me. So what are you going to do about it, Jesus? What is my action supposed to be with you in this, Jesus? And in that, God is always in your sight. And you recognize that you're always in God's sight. And so the things that proceed from the interior of your heart are all the more and more purified and rarefied. To do as Jacques Philippe points out that Saint Thérèse of Lisieux did in her letter to Saint Sister Agnes, her dear sister. comparing her own heart, her own self, to that weak reed blown about by the wickedness of the wind around there of life, saying, no matter what happens, I know that this reed, it can't break, no matter how weak it is, no matter how weak I am. Since no matter what happens to it, it just only wants to see the gentle hand of its Jesus. And so focus upon Jesus. Nothing can harm it. Blessed are those who see God, for they keep their hearts pure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.